Does anyone smell anything smoky?
Did you bring your jerky in again?
Oh my god!
Fire!
Oh, fire! Oh my goodness! What's the procedure? What do we do, people?
The bones are dead.
Oh, how did that happen?
It's out in the hall.
No, we don't know that. The smoke could be coming through an air duct.
Oh my god! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan and Ryan here with you. Weiss is off this week. He is on vacation, so I hope he's enjoying. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping, and there is a good amount of it this week. First things first, the draft party. A lot of you guys have been asking. I am currently talking with a bunch of different bars in New York City, trying to work out some details, trying to get us a good price on an open bar for however number of hours we want to be there. So I promise you, I said we were going to do it. We're going to do it. Thank you guys for bugging me because I honestly probably would have forgotten. So that is in the works. Stay tuned. I'll tweet it out. We'll announce it either on Twitter or the next podcast. Done with that. You know the drill. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Follow Ryan at RyanDizdier on Twitter. And of course, you can still follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, soon to be SoundCloud. We're making the transition from Audioboom to SoundCloud. So those of you who don't have iPhones and are too lazy to find us on the Google Play Store, you can follow us on SoundCloud. I'll make an announcement once that is finally live. Shout out to super producer Claudio, who is getting that all set up. We're done. Ryan, how is the Arby's?
Arby's, let me tell you something. Everybody who was acting like Arby's was going to be the death of me, it has been pleasantly surprising. The quality of the meat, I think, really surprised me, as has the overall taste. The service has been very pleasant, really nice people up there with Chick-fil-A. And I'm not going to say I'm going to keep going there after this week is up, but I'll be back. It's good quality fast food, and I've been pleasantly surprised. Everyone at work has been just asking me about it, and rightfully so, because a lot of them follow me on Twitter, but I feel like Toby from The Office when he goes to the Scranton Strangler trial, and that's all people want to talk to him about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's my life now, and I'll own it because I brought this on myself, so I am taking the heat for it.
There you go. So Ryan, he's got the meats. And just everyone for the backstory, he said he'd eat Arby's every day for a week if he hit 5,000 followers before the draft, which he did. So Ryan's been eating Arby's for dinner every single night. So what's the menu been like before we get into football?
I think the first night was classic roast beef. Then I went with the Euros or the Gyros. Then I think it was...
Hold on. Euros or Gyros? I always thought it was Gyros or Gyros.
I don't know the correct pronunciation. I know people have yelled at me for both, so okay. I just don't even try anymore.
I don't think there's a consensus, honestly, so you're going to get yelled at anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And then I can't remember what one of them was. I had, like, the Smokehouse Brisket. Last night I had the turkey, and tonight I went with the Meat Mountain, which is every meat they offer on a sandwich for a cool $10. So I'm excited to eat that.
Awesome. All right. So pray for Ryan's stomach and his intestines and his bathroom trip later. Let's get into the topics for today's show. First things first, Dez Bryant, no longer a Dallas Cowboy, says, "I'll see you guys twice a year," meaning he wants to stay in the division. And he said he would love to play with Odell and the Giants. Now, my response to that is, no shit, Dez, because you're old, you're washed, you're constantly injured, and you can't get separation, so why not be the number two wide receiver to the best in the league? No shit, Dez, you want to be a Giant. Now, it's not going to happen. One, the Giants can't afford it. Two, the Giants shouldn't want him. They already have a red zone threat in Odell and Evan Engram. And three, honestly, I think he can go to the Redskins.
Yeah, I agree with literally everything you said. If he wants to stay in the NFC East, it's going to be Washington. Yep. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they had a really good point. They were like, Dez said that he wants to stay in the division, and the three teams that know him the best are saying, no, we're not really interested. And I was thinking about it today, and like, if you swap Marshall in for or out for Dez for the same contract, essentially, I'd be fine with it. I wouldn't be like overly upset. I think that would be like a whatever kind of signing, but I don't think the Giants need him. And I don't know if he did sign with the Giants, it would take until like week three for him to be pissy about not getting enough looks. So I want the Giants to stay away from him. Have him go to like Baltimore or like Buffalo or somewhere like that.
Yeah, one of the teams that's been thrown out there has been the Ravens. I think that's a perfect fit, honestly. That team has just been so blech on offense for so long. You know, even if Dez isn't what he used to be, he's someone with a lot of fire that can really spice up the offense. I think Baltimore is a perfect fit for him. Like you said, there's no room for him on the Giants. Yeah, if you want to swap him out for Marshall on the same contract, sure. I honestly think in terms of locker room cancer status, they're probably on even ground there. But stay far away. Listen, you said it best. Every team in the division has basically said no thank you. The Eagles are already a Super Bowl contender after coming off a Super Bowl win. They don't need him. They have Alshon Jeffrey and a bunch of other good receivers. They got Ertz as a red zone threat. They got Jeffrey, like I mentioned, as a red zone threat. They got Aguilar, a bunch of running backs that can catch the ball. They don't need him. The Redskins would be, you know, an okay fit, but if he wants to win, he shouldn't go there. That's pretty much it. I think a lot of it is just, you know, media sensation. Of course he's going to want to stay in the division, stick it to the Cowboys, but there's really no room for him anywhere. So that's that.
Yeah, absolutely. I just do need to say I can finally admit that I love Dez Bryant. I've really always admired the way he plays and how kind of he seeks contact after the catch. And, like, I love when players leave the Eagles and the Cowboys because I can – like, Shady McCoy. I loved Shady McCoy. And when he left, I was super jazzed about being able to admit it. And same goes for Dez Bryant. So now I can finally say I'm a Dez Bryant fan.
There you go. I will not say the same thing. But I don't disagree with the sentiment. I am a Shady fan. The person who left the Cowboys that I'm probably the biggest fan of that a lot of people hated, then loved, and then hated again – is Tony Romo. I love his commentary. Love Tony Romo. Huge Tony Romo guy.
Yeah, he's not exactly my cup of tea, but I understand why people like him.
There you go. All right, let's transition from the Dez news into some draft talk. A lot of Saquon Barkley chatter going on. Can't say either of us are a huge fan of it, and I'm going to go on record for the millionth time because I have this scenario playing out in my head over and over. The Giants take Saquon at number 2. He makes an amazing play. We're all freaking out about it. We're jiffing it. We're going bananas. And everyone's going to be like, remember when you didn't want Saquon at number 2? Just because I don't want Saquon at number 2 does not mean that he is a bad player. Saquon Barkley is consensus, the best running back available in this class. He has the potential to be a generational back. The fact of the matter is, the Giants can get a great running back who they're going to have to pay less than Saquon Barkley in rounds 2, 3, and 4. Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, Rashad Penny, who I said on previous podcasts is my biggest bang for your buck you can get in this draft class. That is why I do not want Saquon at number 2. I think it would be foolish for the Giants, who have a 37-year-old quarterback, to pass on what is to be considered one of the best classes in the last 10 years. Especially when your backup plan is Davis Webb, who's a third-round pick with no experience, who didn't get any playing time last season, who wasn't even active for most of the games last season, and is a wild card. No one has any idea what he is, and if you put him in this draft class, I don't even know if he's top 8 quarterbacks in this draft class.
I don't understand why people still think that Saquon Barkley should be the pick, and I think that as good as he is, and make no mistake about it, and I'm in the same ballpark as you are, he's terrific, and he has the potential to be generational. But let's stop throwing around the word generational like it's some kind of thing. Like, how much better is he going to be than Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
My answer,
personally, by the way, were not first-round picks.
Exactly. And
Alvin Kamara, not a first-round pick.
Kareem Hunt, Shady McCoy, Jay Ajayi, like Jordan Howard, you can go down the list. And like, what are the Steelers doing right now with Lev Bell that they've done the past couple off seasons? They're being noncommittal about a long-term deal because he's a running back. I don't understand. Like, I tweeted out today and I said that, yeah, Saquon will be fun for 3 years until he needs a new contract and the Giants don't want to pay him. And someone responded and was like, oh, so a future contract situation is the reason you don't want a player like Barkley? And I was like, yeah, you idiot. That's called, like, smart planning for the future. It's called having foresight. Yeah. Like,
I'm just going to piggyback off of what you said. It's you can take a quarterback at number two, transition him into the starter next year, get rid of Eli's cap hit. It's the I'm beating a dead horse, Ryan. I'm beating a fucking dead horse at this point. It's the model that the Rams and the Eagles used, and they are going to be contenders for the next 4 years. You have a quarterback on a rookie contract, and then with all the cap space that the Giants are going to have, you surround him with the pieces you couldn't fill in the draft. It is so mind-bogglingly simple. I don't understand why people can't comprehend it.
Dude, it's wasting breath at this point. Like, if sometimes I just get so angry when I tweet things saying, like, oh, the Giants need a quarterback, because then I have all these people who are just like, oh, well, don't forget about Davis Webb, and, oh, but Saquon is going to be a generational player, and they should take him. They're in win-now mode. Eli is not declining. Yeah. Look, wait, I just want to, like, the Eli is not declining thing, to say that he's not declining is to insinuate a 37-year-old quarterback is either maintaining a level of elite play from 2011-12 or is in, like, getting better. Like, yeah. Eli Manning has been great for the Giants for a long time, has been great. But those two words there, has been. Mm-hmm. He's 37. There's nothing wrong with admitting he's declining. Like, just, he's going to be in Canton. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the best Giants to ever play, but he's not the future.
Correct. He's not the future. And listen, I would say it's almost a given that this year he will have a better year than he did last year. But how much of that is going to be him not being in one of the worst and most predictable offenses in the league, right? You take Pat Shurmur, who has taken dog shit quarterbacks and made them seem like legitimate, you know, middle tier quarterbacks. And now Eli's going to have him as his head coach and offensive coordinator. I mean, listen, that's going to be the podium that all of these Eli is not in decline people are going to be standing on come, you know, my mouth to God's ears, week 7 or 8, if the Giants are, you know, not in the hunt, but they're not as dog shit as they were last year. He's 37. He's in decline. Sometimes a golden ticket just falls into your lap, and that golden ticket is the second overall pick in a draft that is so quarterback heavy and quarterback heavy with talent that you just can't pass up on an opportunity like this. And I mean, we're beating a dead horse at this point. We think we're both on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have been since the Giants season started going to shit. Like, both of us realized that it makes so much sense to take a quarterback and just mirror, like you said, the Rams and the Eagles. And, like, if you want to get crazy, even the Bears, and they got Trubisky and they're building around him, if you want to use that as a lesser, lower tier example. Like, it's just a smart way to build, man. Mm-hmm. And if the Giants take Barkley and then Davis Webb ends up being, shocker, Davis Webb, mm-hmm. not very impressive, couldn't beat out Geno Smith to be active, then it's okay, now we're in the same place next year and we have to give up a enormous amount to move up. It just, I don't want to, like I put on Twitter and I said, I'm probably going to have to work the night of the draft, and I'm very happy because I don't have to deal with any of the nonsense on draft night.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the Bills, I'm like a broken record at this point. You see the Bills who are now desperately trying to trade up into the top five of the draft because they skipped on Deshaun Watson. You know, it's crazy. It really is. I mean, history tends to repeat itself, and the fact that some people just can't learn and just take the opportunity that's given to you, it's mind-boggling. All right. Let's talk other draft scenarios. Say the Giants want to trade out of the second spot. For whatever reason, they don't love Rosen, they don't love Mayfield, they don't love Allen, they don't love any of the quarterbacks outside of Darnold, and Darnold goes number one. I'd bet a lot of money. Sam Darnold, first overall. If that's going to be a prop that is available to me to play, I'm going to put a lot of money on it. What are some possibilities in your mind that you've been thinking of that will benefit the Giants that we won't be too upset on draft day if they decide to trade back?
I think staying in the top 10 is kind of crucial. Mm-hmm. I think Denver makes sense as a trade partner, perhaps mm-hmm. moving back to 5. I think if Buffalo can somehow get into the top 10, I wouldn't be completely adverse to doing that. But as long as the team stays in the top 10, they're going to be able to. I mean, Gettleman keeps saying he wants a Hall of Fame player. And if you get the farther remove you get from number 2, the more difficult it'll be to obtain a player like that. So I think staying in the top 10 is paramount to keep me and you and a lot of other Giants fans sane if the move is to move down.
100%. Now, I'm just looking at the draft order right now. Let's say Darnold goes number one to Cleveland. The Giants trade out of that spot. The popular partner is the Bills because they seem to be the only one with the draft capital to trade and move up, right? Let's say the Bills trade up to the number two spot. Methinks they take Josh Allen, right? So Darnold, Allen, Jets, Mayfield falls right into their lap. The Browns have the fourth pick. Now, the Browns already have their quarterback. I think they could take Barkley. They could take Chubb and have a dynamic pass rushing duo with him and Myles Garrett. Then the big question is, what do the Broncos do? I think it's a toss-up. You know, I haven't heard too much about them targeting quarterbacks in this draft. For whatever reason, I feel like Elway seems to think he can roll with whatever he's got there. He's wrong. I think, and again, this is like a far-fetched scenario. They trade back to 12, the draft order unfolds, as I just said, and the Broncos take Quentin Nelson. The Colts at 6 get their choice of Chubb Barkley. The Bucks already have their quarterback. The Bears already have their quarterback. The Niners already have their quarterback. The Raiders already have their quarterback. And then we get to 11.
Good God, man.
Whew. And that's where things get interesting. Because if Josh Rosen takes an Aaron Rodgers-like slide, do the Dolphins go for him? Because they seem to be, you know, outside of the Broncos, the only real roadblock between the Giants trading back to 12 and still being able to take Rosen and acquiring all those picks. That's the million-dollar question. The Broncos and the Dolphins, and honestly, mostly the Dolphins.
Unreal. I can't believe that you just proposed that, because that is actually something that could definitely happen.
Now here's the thing. Wow. Before I get you too excited, again, if you're Gettleman and you like one of these quarterbacks, why take the risk of not getting them when you can get them at 2? Now, I just want to throw this out there. The Giants don't like Josh Rosen. That is bullshit. Bullschlachan, nonsense, fugazi, whatever. Okay? They had him in for a long visit. He went to dinner with Tish and Mara to alleviate the quote-unquote character concerns. His injury history, it's bullshit. If you're harping on it, go fuck yourself. Now, they obviously like him. They had him in for the workouts. There's interest there. Now, if Gettleman says, you know, I like him, I don't love him, let's trade back and just see what happens. Let's get the draft capital. Worst case scenario, I roll with Eli next year, and who knows what happens. I could see this being a realistic scenario. Now, them saying, again, Saquon, if there's smoke, there's fire. We don't know. It's smokescreen season. Could they just be throwing all this out there to bait one of these teams into, wow, if Darnold's going one and we can trade with the Giants, we'll have our pick? We can have our pick of the quarterbacks. We could leap the Jets, who tried to trade up to number 2, by the way, before trading to number 3, and get our guy. If he says, you know what, I like him, I don't love him, fuck it, let's trade back, let's see what happens. It could be a realistic scenario. And also, Lamar Jackson's going to be there at 12 regardless of what happens. I don't think the Dolphins go for him. I think Jackson could also go to the Cardinals at 15. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie Draft Day?
Mm-hmm.
I think that my ideal scenario is Gettleman trading back, and everyone's like, oh, what are you doing? I don't understand. Well, a portion. Some people would be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But I think my ideal scenario is him trading back and then him somehow trading back up and getting like a bunch of picks to get Josh Rosen or Darnold or Mayfield. I think that there's just so many options. And
So are you saying trade back to 12, get all the picks, and then say, well, fuck, the Dolphins are going to take Rosen. Let me trade up to 10 with like half of the picks that I got and still get my guy?
Yeah, but they also get like, I don't know, I don't even know who the Dolphins have anymore, but like some good player that they have, just like in Draft Day, and then I'm really happy because that movie wasn't that good.
But again, it goes against Gettleman's philosophy of not getting too cute.
Absolutely, but I can't really get a read on Gettleman. Like,
Which is good.
Yeah, absolutely, but like, ever since his first press conference when he was just being kind of a goofball and everything, and like, I don't know, I can't really understand what he's trying to do, which is good. It's exactly what you want. You don't, when Jerry Reese, what happened in 2015?
Exactly.
It leaked with Leonard Floyd and Conklin, and then they got fucked.
They got boned. So,
yeah, and I think that he's playing it closer to the chest than maybe he needs to, but I love it. And I think that because of that, there are just a multitude of options that could unravel on draft night, which is going to be really interesting to follow and kind of renders any mock draft useless.
Yeah, because
we're more useless than they are.
Seriously, and which is why, like, okay, how far out are we? A week and a half?
Yeah.
Right? Dude, there could be a report next week that the Giants are all of a sudden looking at Josh Rosen, and all of a sudden there, you know, there's smoke and there's more fire and the Saquon rumors are irrelevant. We have no clue. Same thing happened with the Odell trade rumors. Some schmuck just threw it out there. No one has any credible sources. People, they like these guys. No shit, they like these guys. They're number two in the draft. There's a lot of guys they're gonna like at that position. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Any other draft scenarios?
I don't think so. Not so much draft scenarios, but like guys. Okay, so let's say they don't get their quarterback. Mm-hmm. Let's say, if they trade back to five, obviously like Barkley, Nelson, Chubb, or even like Denzel Ward, maybe, or Fitzpatrick. But like if they trade back to 12 and like get the Bills 12th overall, and then what is it, like 23rd or 24th 20, or something like
22,
that?
22, 12 and 22.
22. Yeah, that would be interesting to me. I did a mock and I had, like, I think I had us taking the Giants taking Roquan Smith at 12, mm-hmm. which I think would be tremendous, or like Tremaine Edwards or someone like that. Like, that's where I think it would get really interesting with those two first-round picks and, like, maybe take, like, McGlinchey with the second pick. But I think if that does happen, and obviously the Bills would have to give up far more than just those two picks, mm-hmm. that's when things get really interesting and we can get kind of a good read on what direction Gettleman's taking the team in.
Especially when you consider they have the 34th pick in the draft, which is virtually a first-round pick. It's a day-one starter. And they have, what, two other picks? Before 69, nice.
Yeah.
And then imagine they get all that trade back draft capital. They could definitely easily package and get back into the late first round if there are other guys there that they're very high on.
Yeah. So to put it bluntly, it's gonna be a ride.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Last thing before we get into questions, we have a lot of questions actually. Odell showed up for camp and Ereck Flowers did not.
Ereck Flowers not showing up to camp is like, so freshman year, I was taking this art history class and I failed every test. And the professor was cutting me a lot of slack and she said, all right, I will offer you this extra credit assignment. It'll help boost your grade, make up for all the tests. You just can't skip any more classes.
Yep.
I ended up accidentally skipping a class. That's what Ereck Flowers did, but he just did it deliberately. He's failed his first three seasons and he's like, no, I don't have to show up. And the fact that he's the only one not there is crazy to me. And
it's
like,
crazy.
Get this guy off the team.
I mean, the issue that we've had with him over the past few years is that he's spent the offseason training with his dad instead of, like, a professional coach. And, buddy, it hasn't worked out. So, you know, people give a lot of shit to these players, and you know, I'm one of them who said, you know what? It's voluntary. It's voluntary. You know, you don't want to risk getting injured because it's going to cost you a lot of money. For Ereck Flowers, you got to be there, dude. You know, like you said, you failed your first three seasons. You have a fresh regime, tongue twister. You have your opportunities right there to start fresh. Gettleman already didn't like you from the get-go. He cut Bobby Hart, and you two were in cahoots and not really, you know, going to practice and letting Eli get murdered every week. Now is your chance to, like, go and try and start fresh. And you fucked up, and you didn't do it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if you want to look at a better – or like an example of a guy who's getting a second chance and kind of running with it, and I don't even like admitting this, but like Eli Apple, he no bad news about him since it was reported that the team was giving him a second chance. Like, it's crazy how the two first round draft picks are both in similar situations, but how one of them is taking the ball and running with it and saying, all right, I need to do better, and the other one's like, nah, I'm just not gonna try.
Doesn't give a shit. All right. Let's get into a lot. We got a lot of questions. First one, Matt. Why have the Giants had multiple meetings with Rosen if they have no interest in him? Well, Matt, the funny thing is they do have interest in Josh Rosen because he is a top quarterback in a quarterback-heavy draft, and the Giants have a 37-year-old incumbent coming back. So, yes, they do have interest in him.
Yeah, if they don't have interest in him, then they're kind of dumb because he's the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. Yep. And if they're even considering taking a quarterback, for them to not even be like remotely interested, that doesn't check out at all.
Doesn't check out. All right, we got two questions from Smedium Dick Gregory. Great name.
That's my guy.
Yeah. How do y'all feel about BJ Goodson next to Ogletree? Do we need to upgrade? Could always use an upgrade at the linebacker position. It's been a real weak for the Giants. Honestly, like, if Ogletree is 2017 Ogletree for the Giants, that's still an upgrade as to what they had last year. If they get a happy medium between 16 and 17 Ogletree, that's great. If they get 16 Ogletree, the trade was a steal. I think the trade was great either way. I think the linebacking core is going to be way better this year. Goodson, I think the only, you know, real question with him is his injury history. Was a big fan of him last year before he got hurt. So, you know, that pairing, big fan.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. The only thing holding him back is injuries, but I always do kind of think that the Giants would be smart to go out in the preseason and get, like, a vet linebacker. Mm-hmm. This year, it's Jarrell Freeman. I know he's suspended for the first four games, but, like, he has experience in a 3-4. He was with Chicago. If the team is comfortable with signing a guy who's going to miss the first four games, then I don't see why not. Probably get him cheap, good leadership, just depth. And I mean, Gettleman has proven that he values depth, which is something Jerry Reese couldn't comprehend. So I think that adding a solid vet down the line would make sense. But if Goodson can stay healthy, he will be in the top 10 for tackles, I think, by the end of the year. I think he was leading through 2 weeks with like 22 tackles or something like that. So.
And his second question, who takes the biggest year leap to Avery Moss or Wayne Gallman? For me,
I say Wayne Gallman.
Really? I was going to go Avery Moss. Here we go. A little differentiation here. What's your reasoning?
I just think I look at the way that he played last year in the snaps that he got, and I think he runs hard. He lowers his shoulder. He finishes runs. He's so much more decisive than Paul Perkins. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Paul Perkins will just be like, should I go this way or this way? Wayne Gallman puts his foot in the ground and he goes. And I like that aspect about him. I think he can develop into a better receiver. And I think that he's just kind of like, I'm trying to think of, he's like what the Giants thought that Rashad Jennings would be when they signed him. Like what best case scenario, what they envisioned him being, just like kind of a slasher kind of runner who can pick up tough yardage and just, you know, pick up, you know, like I just said, short yardage situation. So I think that he averaged like 4.4 yards per carry last year, I believe. So I think that if he can get more touches, he'll be able to take leap forward, kind of like how we were expecting Paul Perkins. But I think that Gallman's late season success is like 8 times more sustainable than Perkins's was.
I don't disagree with your reasoning there. I think we had different interpretations of the question. For me, like we already have a baseline for Wayne Gallman. Avery Moss for me is like, you know, if he's productive, great. And I think now that we have a legit defensive coordinator whose specialty is putting his players in the right position, I think he's going to get the most out of Avery Moss. And I think, you know, getting rid of JPP means that Avery Moss is going to get way more snaps and he's going to be way more successful in Betcher's defense than he was in Spags.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% as well. I think Moss, you know, he was a guy whose draft stock fell because of off-field issues a little bit, but I do think he has the potential to develop into a nice situational pass rusher, so hopefully Betcher can unlock him.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the departure of Kennard.
Yeah.
Jay asks, which direction do you think the Giants go with their second-round pick? Second-round pick. Now, I mean, listen, I've had this notion in my head for quite some time now that it's either going to be the best offensive lineman available or the best running back available if they don't go Saquon in round one. Now, best offensive lineman, a lot of people are saying Hernandez. For me, there's going to be a lot of offensive tackles that people had projected going in the mid-first round that are going to slide into rounds 2 and 3 because they had bad combines. Connor Williams of Texas is one of them. And Orlando Brown, who protected Baker Mayfield's blindside in college, had a shit combine, better pro day. But a lot of people have them sliding. And if Ereck Flowers isn't showing up to fucking camp and they don't bring in another right tackle to compete with him, make that your second-round pick. Go get an offensive lineman. Go get Connor Williams. Go get Orlando Brown and make them beat out Ereck Flowers for that right tackle job. And then all of a sudden, you got your tackles for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think that if a tackle's on the board that they have graded highly, it's going to be a tackle. But if it's a guard who they have graded highly compared to, like, a corner, like someone on defense, I think they go defense. I think just because, like, you've said this previously before on different episodes, but, like, Gettleman's thing, his calling card, is finding these big hog mollies in late rounds.
Mm-hmm. So I think it makes
a lot more sense to go like corner in round 2 I know running back would also be a good pick, but with the third round picks, I think that cornerback is a bigger area of need, especially with DRC out and Eli Apple still a question mark.
Yep, not going to disagree with you there. This one's from Curbstomp. If Gettleman is so set on Saquon, where does he plan on finding Eli's successor? I think if he is so set on Saquon, I think he legitimately believes that Eli's got like 3 or 4 good years left, which is bananas to me. I've said this on previous episodes as well. I think that part of him getting the job, and honestly, there's been news recently that sort of goes against this notion, but I'm going to say it anyway, and then I'll give the counter reasoning to it because, hey, we're a fair podcast, is that he came in and basically convinced Mara that the backlash he saw from the benching of Eli was like really, really bad, and that Eli still had years left, and that if he wanted to get back into fans' good graces, he should start Eli, you know, the next few years. But then Lewis Riddick came out and said that if he was the GM at number two, he would take Saquon or Chubb. So that sort of goes against that notion, is, you know, if someone else was in here, they'd go quarterback instead of running back. What about you?
I think I am kind of in the same boat there. I don't really have anything to disagree with that. I think we are in the same stance there.
Yeah. Dan, this is a good question. How would you guys feel about moving Eric Flowers to running back because he's great at eluding defenders? Love the idea.
I think he'll be better than he was at tackle, and he won't be getting anyone killed. He'll just be getting hit himself, so It'll be a nice change of pace.
Done. Kyle, shout out to Kyle, by the way, giving me advice on how to clean my sneakers this afternoon. I have so many goddamn sneakers. Every time, shout out to Jeremy, the coincidence on Twitter, my roommate, every time I get a new shoes, I feel like he treats me like a dog who's just shit on the rug. Like, come on, really? You did it again? Like, yeah, dude, I got a new pair of shoes. He asks, why can't we have nice things, a.k.a. Josh Rosen? Because John Mara is still the owner of the team. That's my answer.
Yeah, and because everyone wants to believe things that are in the news that may or may not be accurate. So, smoke screens, man.
Yep. This is from Victoria. Hello, dear. In your opinion, what would this roster need to be a win-now team? a starting right tackle, a starting right guard, legitimate complementary running back, linebacker depth, cornerback depth, safety depth, offensive line depth in general, not just starters for right guard and right tackle.
Kicker and a punter.
Kicker and a punter. Fuck, I forgot about that. Yeah, we still need special teams.
So much.
So literally everything.
Yeah.
This one's from Ashley. Design a Mount Rushmore of New York athletes. This is a good question.
This is a good one. Yeah, really, and really, I think good. I'm going to let you handle this one because obviously I am a Giants fan, but a Sixers and a Phillies fan, so I can't really speak on that too much.
Yeah, so let's start with the obvious. Odell is on the Mount Rushmore. That's one. I think we got to put KP up there. I think Porzingis is on the Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go... Not yet.
Anakin Fordo, what about both?
Hey. Henrik Lundqvist.
Okay.
We need hockey representation. Henrik Lundqvist gets a Mount Rushmore spot. Absolutely, he does. The fourth, this is tough. I feel like we have a representative from each sport. Yeah, Michael Conforto. Yeah, we'll throw Michael Conforto up there, number four, yeah, because he's better than Aaron Judge, as we all know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard that he's a lot better than Aaron Judge, so.
You've heard correct.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm on board with that. That's a good Mount Rushmore.
Yes. All right. A question from Nick. Out of the positions the Giants need, quarterback, running back, cornerback, right side offensive line, linebacker, pass rusher, free safety, which one do you have the most confidence in right now? Also, which is least likely to be filled before week one?
Wait, so can you run through those again? Because that's a lot.
Quarterback, running back, cornerback, right side of the offensive line, linebacker, pass rusher, free safety. Which do you have the most confidence in?
Wow. That is so many. And again, to the people who think the Giants are a win-now team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say quarterback because we know Eli. I'll say free safety. I think that Darian Thompson, like, he kind of redshirted. He played it. He appeared in 2 games his rookie year. And I think that he will be a lot better in year two. Year two playing, year three on the team. I think that Andrew Adams as well deserves more snaps. I think Betcher's smart enough to understand that. So I would go with free safety.
I will go right side of the offensive line, given what we know. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, this is what you have the most confidence in. I thought it was the opposite. Okay. most confidence in? I'll say cornerback just because we have Lockdown and Jenkins on one side. Eli Apple, mixed bag, real mixed bag. But
yeah,
we got Jenkins. Which is least likely to be filled before week one?
Probably, I would say, well, you could either go quarterback or running back based on what you think the Giants will do in the draft.
Well, I think running back is going to be the easiest to fill because you can take a depth guy late in the draft or an undrafted free agent, you know?
I'll say
right side offensive line for me.
Yeah, I'll go with linebacker.
Yeah, okay. Young Rito. If the Giants somehow trade down to 5 and Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley are on the board, who do you want us to take?
Barkley. Saquon Barkley, yeah.
I mean, I'll just commit Ryan seppuku Allen on myself, but yeah, Barkley.
Yeah, I would, like, Josh Allen is terrible. He's so bad.
So bad. From Plax, could you talk about the punter and kicker situation? I think punter and kicker are underrated positions. Special teams can change a game. This is true. We saw this in week 3 with Jake Elliott nailing a 61-yard field goal to send us into a tailspin. So I have no fucking clue what they're going to do. I thought they should have brought in Marquette King at punter. No clue what they're going to do at either position, and that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah, I just hope that Aldrick Rosas is not the kicker next year. Mm-hmm. Where can the Giants just find a kicker who can kick touchbacks? Like, I feel like every other team can do it, and like Robbie Gould couldn't do it last year. Rosas can't do it now.
Yep.
They got to figure it out. I think I'm not even going to pretend like I know a lot about the kickers and the punters in this draft. I know one guy from Florida. He's a punter, Johnny Townsend. Mm-hmm. He's pretty cool. I would like him as like an undrafted free agent. But other than that, I feel like they got to fill needs with undrafted free agents because I don't even know who's still on the market, like Blair Walsh, but I don't want that. Come on.
No one does. That's about it. That does it for the questions. You got any final notes?
No, I think we touched on everything, and I'm sure you and Weiss will tackle more in-depth draft one next week. So I think we kind of glossed over that perfectly, talked about the dead stuff. I think we got it all, man.
And that's it. All right, guys, stay tuned for the draft party. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me, Ethan GSN. You can follow Ryan at Ryan Disney, or follow the blog at Gotham SN. Follow all of our writers. We've got a bunch of other podcasts. Next stop, Willits Point. We got Pinstripe Podcasting and Pinstripes. Go follow for baseball season. It's in full swing. Subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, soon to be SoundCloud. And we will speak to you guys next week.